Before you stands the woman with purple hair. She holds a crossbow in one hand while she loads another bolt with the other. She looks nervous, panicked. She wasn't expecting this. Z, you are roughly 40 feet away. Will, you are closer at 20 feet away. Ellis, you are lying on the ground next to Dr. Lau, unconscious and quickly bleeding out. With the rest of her turn, the woman uses a bonus action hide by slipping out the back door. She rolls...
Yeah, we're playing D&D, nerds.
She rolls an 11, which becomes a 20. I believe that is lower than Will's passive perception.
That is exactly my passive perception.
Oh, okay. But it is unfortunately higher than Z's. So Z, you see she disappears. You're going to have to roll a perception check if you want to track her down when it gets to your turn. But it's not your turn right now. It's Will's turn. Will, she reloads the crossbow, sees how big Z is. I don't think she clocked you. She didn't even know that you were in here. But she saw Z, reloaded a crossbow, and just slipped right back out the door. What do you do?
I would like to try and stealth and sneak out with her.
Yeah, roll that stealth check. Concentration broke the moment that Ellis was dropped. So you are full size again. So just roll this straight.
Okay. That is a 16.
Unfortunately, that's not going to do it. You are not successfully hidden. But what are you doing? And explain to me, like, why doesn't this work? Why are you not? Explain to me why this roll fails.
He just kind of ran right out after her through the door, and I think he was being really quiet. But when he like went through the door, she was standing there looking right at him, like loading the crossbow, and he would just kind of in plain sight just walked right through and just like a deer in the headlights, just like oh. If that was my bonus action as a rogue, my action is I want to sleight of hand try to just take the bolt out of her crossbow.
Oh, interesting.
Or cut the string, but just she loaded it and I just want to unload it.
Okay. Huh. Okay.
No reverse card.
I will say go ahead and make a sleight of hand check and I'll oppose it with a dexterity saving throw.
I roll first, tell you what you need to beat.
She only got a 10.
Okay, and I have a +7 to this, so I need a 3 or higher.
Yep.
One. Okay, so that is a 17 +7.
Yeah, so you reach out, yank this bolt, and you're suddenly just holding the arrow. She lifts the crossbow up to, like, shoot you and realizes she can't. What do you do?
So that was my bonus action, my action. Will's just holding the arrow, and he kind of, like, puts it up next to his head and just like looks at her and just says, "You're going to die if you try. He's gonna hurt you. Calm down. We can talk this out. But this is the best way this can end."
Okay. Why don't you make an intimidation check?
I'm not very good at that. Intimidation. -1 for a 14.
I think a 14 at this present moment, unfortunately, is not going to do it. She looks at you. She looks surprised for a moment, but then she says, "I have to try." And she looks like she's about to attack you. So I think that's your bonus action, right?
Yeah, I think that's my turn.
Okay, we're going to move on to Ellis.
All right.
That is a death saving throw. Why don't you roll a d20 for us?
That is a nat 1. Yeah.
That's
Okay.
Not ideal.
Okay.
Not ideal, but it's okay. I'll be fine, I think. Maybe.
Okay.
Who's okay. to say?
We're gonna we'll deal with that. Ezra, it is now your turn. You've got your brother laying on the ground, not looking good. The pool of blood beneath him is ever growing. You just saw your other brother bolt out the door and kind of disappear around the corner, chasing after the woman who did this. What do you do?
So I got some quick questions. Did Dr. Lau pass out?
Yes. Dr. Lau, he's not fully unconscious. You know what I mean? Like, he's not aware of his surroundings, if that makes sense.
I do have another question. Did Ellis fall forward or backward when he went to the ground? Like, is he laying on his stomach or on his back?
I believe he's on his stomach.
Z is going to run up and grabbing Ellis by the shirt, and then he's just going to toss him towards Lau.
Okay.
Wherever he is, and just be like, fix him.
Dr. Lau and him are actually pretty close together. Do you want to spend any of your resources to try to get Dr. Lau to wake up? Because I don't know if it's going to happen on its own.
I am trying to, like, rule this or whatever and play Z, especially in combat, what are very instinctual and, like, straightforward, where he's not mm-hmm. trying to, like, think very hard. It's just things are happening. So I think he's just tossing Ellis at Dr. Lau, believing that Dr. Lau, being, like, a healer or a doctor, is going to, like, you know, pop out of his stupor or whatever when, you know, there's a yeah. bloody body sitting in front of him to, like, try and do something, which is more than what Z is currently capable of doing.
All right, so you won't use any resources. What are you going to do? I think you still have your bonus action and action.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I don't know if you want me to make it a disadvantage or make some other kind of check, but basically the idea is I'm going to be looking at whatever door Will ran out of, and looking at whatever and just assuming whatever direction Will is interacting with is where she is. And so, like, if we saw this, like, as a, like, a cartoon or a movie or whatever, the camera would cut back to, like, just over her shoulder, and you would just see the hammer leave the door frame first and then just randomly swing in whatever direction her head most likely is. Like, before Z even, like, gets out the door, the hammer, like, exits out first and just, like, spins around the corner.
Okay, got it. So why don't you roll me an attack with disadvantage?
Oh, that's good. Oh, that was really good. That's 12. So I imagine that first sledgehammer hit probably just goes high. I just assume she's taller than she is.
So, Will, you're standing here holding this crossbow bolt just like, this is the best way it could possibly go. She's like, I have to try. She's like getting ready to attack you. You just feel your brother's arm just like press you up against the wall as his arm just comes around the corner first. But she is able to duck. Go ahead and roll another attack.
I like the idea, though, to where Will is just like, look, this is the best case scenario for you. My brother is coming. And she goes, no, I'll be okay. And the giant sledgehammer.
Yeah.
No, you're doing exactly what I was hoping you'd do here.
I tried to help you. Hey, that's a lot better. So that'd be a dirty 20.
Dirty 20 is going to hit.
So basically, in my brain, it just hit the wall. And then Z finally mm-hmm. makes it out, grabs the sledgehammer with his other hand, and just swings straight down.
Do you want to attack with your bonus action as well?
Sure. Sure, I can. So that first hit is eight damage.
Oh, 8 damage?
Yeah.
Cool. I think now that you've hit her, it's not a disadvantage.
15 to hit.
15 exactly hits.
Rad.
And what's the save she needs to make to not be knocked prone? From your tail attack?
Strength 16.
16. She fails. She is knocked prone. She's on the ground.
So that's 15 damage.
Woo!
So I think the tail literally just, like, I spin in a circle and just literally, like, crush her up against the wall and then just let her fall. Just like...
Yeah. So she ducks the first one, but then as you round the corner... you are able to just basically come back on the backswing and clock her in the head, and then you swing your tail around. The entire wall just kind of dents underneath her weight, and she falls to the ground prone. Awesome. Okay, it is now Dr. Lau's turn. We're just going to roll a wisdom saving throw for him. See if he can kind of break out of his stupor. What we want is a 10. And he's got a plus 0 to this. That's a 19 on the die.
Good job, Dr. Lau. Good job.
So Dr. Lau, the body hits him, and his eyes go wide in his massive glasses. Yeah, his instincts kick in. He is a healer. He sees this mortally wounded person, and he immediately goes into action. He leaves Ellis there for a moment, runs over to a dresser that's like along the wall. He rips it open. He actually yells something out in this moment, like in frustration, but you guys can't like quite make it out. You see he grabs a red bottled potion and runs back out and opens up Ellis's mouth and pours it right down his throat. Ellis is stabilized, crisis averted there, but we're not out of combat yet. We are back to the woman with purple hair. I will ask, Z, are you attempting to make any kind of intimidation check, or are you just...
For sure, I am definitely in between her and Will, and if you will allow me, I'll make an intimidation check. I would love to.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, are you slowing down? That's my question, because Will took a minute to like try to like, hey, I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? Are you opening yourself up to a conversation, or are you just attacking her?
Yeah. I don't know if it's so much opening up for a conversation, but I do believe he would slow down and like give her a moment, because he kind of made his point a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, make a free intimidation check.
Do, 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 do. Oh, yay. That's a 21.
21. What do you do in this moment? She is like back up against the wall. You see like all the breath just like left her body. And she is like, she's coughing, like trying to get her breath back. What do you do as you're like standing above her?
100% what it is with, because my legs are active currently. And so Z just stands up to his full height, which he very rarely does even without the legs. So currently with the added height, he's about 8 feet tall and just massive. And then just jump, like just takes a deep breath in and then drops down really hard and then literally just screams at her. And I'm pretty sure it's like literally the sound from Monsters Incorporated when Sully like screams at the animatronic.
and Will just like behind him, knowing this is about to happen, just kind of like covers his ears. So he's just like, oh, I've heard this before.
just drops the bolt. Just like,
I really want to see the drawings of this scene where Will is making the same face that Boo makes in that scene too. Just <you know? laughs> yeah, absolutely.
I do love that. Like she was. Like, Will made a point. He was like, look, this is going to go so bad. Like, it's like, look, okay. I did this as nice as possible. You shot my brother. Okay.
I rolled for bravery, and she is extremely powerful. But as we've already mentioned, this is a very scary thing that is in front of her. And you see that she begins to try to escape, and she's gonna disengage bonus action and move her full movement and dash. So you all were just outside of the door, and you see she just hops the banister, takes the falling damage, and she's like downstairs already. Will, that's back to you. What do you do?
He's just gonna kind of like glance in back in the room to double check that Ellis is like okay.
Yes, you can see Ellis is still unconscious, but Dr. Lau is very clearly attending to him.
Okay, well then I'm going to use my bonus action to dash and jump off the banister and my action to try and grapple her and just like try and tackle her cool. out of the air.
Yeah, I mean, you were already within distance of her, and so if you do the same thing, your speeds are the same, you catch her just fine.
I'm thinking I'm not going to try and grapple. I'm going to go for an attack. There's like a banister that I'm jumping off of, right?
Yes.
Okay. He's just going to run, like kind of put his foot on the banister, jump, and pull out like his long, like slender crescent-shaped dagger and just jump mm-hmm. through the air and try and stab her in the calf and just like pin her like.
Okay. Got it. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead and make the attack roll.
Do I get to add sneak attack or is this just...
I actually was just about to grant you advantage because you were coming from above. So why don't you go ahead and roll sneak attack? I'm going to allow it.
Right.
Okay. 19 to hit. 19 piercing damage.
You just tear up her leg. She cries out in pain. Go ahead and take 2 points of like falling damage just from making this leap. As she cries out in pain, she brandishes her dagger. You can see, like, again, the panic in her is just continuing to rise. She looks down at her leg, bleeding profusely, and she looks over at you. And I'll say that we go ahead and come out of combat. Ellis, it is 2 days ago, and you are standing before the Council of Zindaru's chambers. Your entrance music has completed.
Mm-hmm. All 5 minutes of it.
The door has shut behind you, and you are alone in this massive room. Before you are 8 thrones. One for each member of the council, and one for each school of magic. Abjuration, conjuration, divination, enchantment, evocation, illusion, necromancy, and transmutation. Thankfully, 6 of the 8 thrones are empty at the moment. If all 8 were filled, it would mean bad news for someone. No, only 2 tieflings are here with you in this moment. Orlando Igwald is the one professor in this entire school that has always had your back. He also happens to be the counselor of transmutation. His skin is green, his head is shaved, and his beard is unkempt. He looks very uncomfortable in the royal robes he is clearly being made to wear. The other professor in this room is the one that will be teaching you Fireball. Polaris Claw has the complexion of a winter sky. For a primary spellcaster, she is clearly very strong. Her hair, bone white, is braided up and out of the way. She is the counselor of evocation. She speaks without raising her voice, but it still feels loud. Ellis Brightmountain, are you ready for your final test?
He kind of just like looks around and he says, oh yeah, I was born for this.
That's funny because you've expressed no interest in the school that I reside over. What makes you think that changes today?
Well, you know, I'm just this is the thing. I'm very good at magic, and even despite my disinterest in your admittedly very lame school of magic, do think that I'll be good at it. You know, I'm good at all kinds of magic.
All schools of magic have their place. And while I respect everyone's preferences, if you truly were the amazing sorcerer you claim to be, you would recognize that there is something to be said about diversification.
Okay. There's something to be said about diversification.
Then say it. Explain to me how evocation could help you.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever, you know, wanted to kill people, you know, burn people alive, you know, cause people tremendous pain. If I ever wanted to just, you know, just like burn down a village, evocation would come in really handy.
You see, she, this is like the first change in her demeanor where you notice that you're starting to get under her skin a little bit. And you see Orlando, his eyebrows raise, and he's like, you know, just kind of clenching his teeth, making like very intense like eye contact with you. She says, evocation is not defined by destruction. And you see she produces a flame in her hand, and it like morphs into like ice and then morphs again into poison, and it just keeps like changing from thing to thing. It says, yes, evocation gives us the ability to inflict harm, but that's not all. And she takes her other hand and, without breaking eye contact with you, just moves her hand into the stream that she's made, legitimately, like as it's like ice, and just gives herself frostbite. And she just like doesn't stop like looking at you. And then she moves her hand away, shows you this like nasty looking frozen like wound on her hand. And then she says, heal. And she casts Healing Word, which is another spell within the school of evocation. And the wound closes up. She says, everything is in balance. Like I said before, diversification is good for a sorcerer. They need to be accepting everything magic has to offer. And the same can be said even within the school itself. Each school is not defined by a single spell. Just like no group of people is defined by one person.
Ellis just goes, okay. Fine. We gonna do this thing, or?
She looks over at Orlando, who kind of just smiles and just kind of shrugs his shoulders. She looks back at you. Okay, then, let's do it. And she steps up off the throne and walks over to you. And she begins to move her hands around in these like circular motions, as like this beam of red light begins to encircle the two of you. And just as the spell completes, you do hear Orlando say, good luck, bud, as the spell completes and you are transported from this area to a different dimension. Ellis, each time you have learned a spell, it has been taught to you by a counselor of the omnibus.
Okay.
And each time that you've learned these spells, it's been in the same way. They take you to this sub-dimension where the magical realm is most easily accessed. And once there, they are able to unlock the magic that is already within you more easily. You've never been in the dimension specifically assigned to evocation before, and it is truly a sight to behold. You are in the middle of this massive desert, but the sand is like this dark, dark brown, and you can see these black mountains in the distance. And up above you, there are just constant shooting stars, these bright orange flaming balls that are just flying through the air at all times. It is night here, and it truly is sort of beautiful to look at. But she brings you back down to earth, and she says, "Fireball. It is one of the most common spells that was taught to us by Zendaru. Its use is simple, but elegant." And you see she casts it, and you see this massive fireball just kind of erupt like 30 feet away. Now it's your turn. I need you to close your eyes, feel the ground beneath your feet. Experience this dimension for what it is, and let it bring the magic out of you. What do you do?
He kind of just stands there for a second, and he looks down at his hand, and he has this, like, this moral discomfort and kind of like just a deep structure within him where he doesn't really think that evocation is evil. You know, he doesn't really think that evocation is all just damage, you know? But Fireball specifically feels like it feels like some of his deepest fears coming true.
Mm.
That he would have a spell, because whether or not the School of Evocation is all about destruction and about damage and about hurting people and taking somebody out, Fireball is. And he's trying to find a way to stomach it so that he can just get out of here. And so he looks at his hand, and then he closes his eyes. He feels, you know, the world for what it is. He feels the magic. But he wants to alter the way the fireball looks so that he has more control over it.
You do as she says. You spend a moment within yourself reflecting on this, and you feel this magic rise to the surface. What do?
He thinks back to being a kid, and he thinks about his brothers, and he thinks about playing with fireworks in their yard, you know? And he thinks about how making those explode was fun. And he envisions the biggest firework, you know, called Bessie. Old Bessie.
And he remembers setting that one off. And then he remembers the next few days in the infirmary, less than the original explosion. But he remembers the glory that came with how big and beautiful the explosion was. All of the colors and just the ribbons of light and blue and green and red all just flying together in this magical spiral. And I think he tries to replicate that.
Ellis, light erupts from your hand. Just all these thousands of little lights that spray out of your hand in all directions. They grow and grow and grow. And then again, yes, in all these different lights, you're able to create this firework effect. And there's even the sound. And as it explodes, it is a little too close. And you feel like the hair on your arm begin to like singe. And she actually flinches and like pulls a hand up over her eyes as this bright light just like erupts so close to you. And you see when the smoke clears and you look over at her, you see her eyes are wide and she is looking at you like she's seen a ghost. She says, "How did you do that?"
Ellis just kind of smirks a little bit. He says, "Told you. Evocation's the easiest one."
"How are you able to change the nature of the spell before you had even cast it a single time? That takes years of work and effort to be able to do that."
Ellis tries to like stifle his glee. His head is already enormous, you know? But at this point, it's about to burst. And he just goes, "Well, it's a mixture of just like a deep fundamental understanding of the shape of magic. And also, you know," he just holds his arms out and he goes, "raw talent, baby."
You see, like, contrary to the reaction Rhea had, she isn't annoyed with this reaction.
Oh, really? Okay.
She actually, like, her expression softens, and she, like, smirks a little bit. She says, "Perhaps you're right. As you know, this is the last spell in your training, but I would encourage you to come back. And when you do, please come speak to me. I believe there's something special about you."
"I'll think about it."
As she begins to power up the spell that is going to take you back to the omnibus, she looks over at you and says, "Despite all that, this fear that you have, fear is good, Ellis. It keeps people safe. And ultimately, that is what the School of Evocation is all about. It's about keeping the ones you love safe. Sometimes that is healing. And other times, it isn't. Fear can help you accomplish that goal too. But too much fear is going to get in your way. You are the dangerous one. And you need to start acting like it." Ellis, you wake up to a hot liquid being poured down your throat and excruciating pain in your chest as Dr. Lau is kneeling above you. He sees that you come to and he says, Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness."
Like, "Oh man. Oh no, no, no. Oh no, no, no." And I'm like, "Dude, okay. All right. We need to get this out of me.
Z and Will, I think that you, do you want to kind of reconvene in that room? Would you have brought the woman up here with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. My plan was to, taking small cords, basically hog tie her.
Okay.
Like, in the exact same way that you do it in Red Dead Redemption, like the perfect.
Calm down.
But basically, like, tie her hands and her feet together and put her hands behind her back. And then hopefully Z would carry her back in.
Cool. Yeah, I'll allow that to happen. She was just kind of, she's past the point of resisting anymore. Yeah, so you are all in this room together at this point. What do you all do as Ellis is talking about trying to get this arrow out?
You okay, man?
When you ask Ellis if he's okay, he goes, yeah, no, I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm totally fine. Do I look bad? Does it look bad? Does the arrow in my chest look bad? Will, does it look bad? Tell me if it looks bad. Does it look bad? Do I look like I feel bad? Do I look like I feel okay?
Yeah,
there's an arrow through me. Through me, dude. Yeah,
it does look pretty bad.
It feels really bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is it going to be here forever?
And Will turns to Dr. Lyle and says, is it going to be there forever?
Dr. Lau says, no, it can't be. It can't be here forever. We're going to need to get it out. I also have detected some kind of poison in your system. So we honestly might not have a ton of time. So here's the question. Would you prefer this safe and painful, or unsafe and less painful?
Less painful. Absolutely less painful.
Ellis, I'm sorry. That was kind of a rhetorical question. Z, I need you to pull the arrow out.
No. You gave me a choice. You gave me a choice. You said there was one that was painful and there was one that was less painful. And I gave you my choice. I gave you my answer.
Calm down, Ellis.
Yeah, Ellis faints. Now Ellis is just falls on the ground.
If Dr. La asked Z to take the air out, then he would just walk over and then just like as gently as he can or whatever, just pull the bolt through.
Ellis, you feel this shock of initial pain and it kind of wakes you back up. But then actually you feel the healing potion actually able to fully do its job as the wound in your chest begins to heal back up. And you immediately feel a lot better.
I sit up and I like hold my chest where like is the wound gone now?
It's a slow process. It'll be probably a couple hours before it's totally gone, but it's beginning to look different.
Okay. I'm going to cast mending on it and try and
like mend your clothes
around
it.
I'm going to try and just like mend my clothes, but also try and like help heal the scar tissue.
Oh, interesting. I think what you know is that like wounds that heal unnaturally like this, you don't need to worry about scars really.
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna heal my coat.
Yeah. You see Dr. Lau walks up and he says, so I suppose I need to stay true to my word. You see, he goes over to that dresser that he had like the healing potion in, and he opens it up, and he opens up this like sliding door where he just has a small pouch of coins. But then you see he opens up the pouch of coins and he starts like looking through, and you see he takes about like 20 of the pieces of gold out of the bag, and he says, for the potion. And he begins to hand the bag over to you guys.
Hmm. So wait, is he charging us for the potion? Is that what he just said?
Yeah.
Ellis is going to look at me. He's going to say, how much?
20 gold.
Oh, my insurance will cover that.
No, it doesn't work like that.
It does.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you weren't even involved
with the potion you used to save me.
No, the healing potion. I wouldn't charge for something like that. That was to save your life.
Okay, so what potion are you charging us for?
He points over to the ground, over like to the corner of the room where there is a bottle that has been smashed to pieces with like this bright blue, like sizzling, like potion just like leaking onto the ground. And he says, that is a potion of invulnerability. And someone wasted it. Beetle like burps and a blue bubble floats up out of her mouth. This explains why she was not harmed by the she got into a couple potions. He says a potion of invulnerability is worth 50 gold, not 20. I'm giving you a discount.
Ellis barters with him. He goes, well, here's the thing. We already saved your life, you know, from that big monster. We took care of your problem. So how about 5 gold?
Make a persuasion check.
28.
He says 10.
Ellis says 3.
Fine. He puts 17 of the gold that he took out back in the bag, and he says, 1,000 gold. Split it up however you'd like.
Absolutely. Ellis is going to take 2 gold out and give it to him, and he's going to say, for the potion.
Thank you.
Ellis winks at him and walks away. Stand up, and I walk to the woman who's been hogtied by my brother. And I just go, I'm like, did you shoot me? Are you the one who shot me with the arrow?
You see, she says, yes. Yes, I did. And
why? Why did you do that?
I would not have.
What's your problem, man?
I had no choice. I need the money. And I need, and she motions around, the potions. I am not safe in Lifefall, and I need to escape today, but I have no means to. When I saw the poster at the Shellhopper, I couldn't take it off the wall in time. The people after me came in right at the last moment. I was hoping that no one else answered the call. And when I saw that you had, I panicked, and I underestimated you. I apparently have a bit of a problem with that. Been doing that a lot lately.
It's first come, first serve, dude. That's the way it works. Sorry, but murder's not the answer.
She kind of raises her eyebrows. Eh.
Listen, what? Did you just say aunt to murder's not the answer?
She says, what I have found is that most people in this world do not deserve a second chance. And I have spent the majority of my life now making sure that they don't. I'm quite good at it.
I imagine so. You shot me with an arrow really hard. I get it. You're good at making sure people don't get a second chance. But the thing is, what about a first chance? You don't even know me.
You're right.
I wasn't even looking at you. All I did was blow up a cube of Jell-O, and then you were like, oh, this guy deserves to die.
I wasn't going to let you die.
Ellis crosses his arms. You shot me. You shot me. That is intention of murder. He looks at Z. Is Z still in the monster form?
Yeah, I think Z's starting to come off it now after the conversation is like gotten, but it's like it takes a second.
Ellis goes, he goes, and if my brother, good God, if my brother doesn't, he like looks at him, he like motions to him, sees him, and then goes, good God, and looks right back to her and like tries not to look back at him. He goes, if my brother didn't pull the arrow out of me, thank you again, Z, then I would have died there. I would have died. I would have bled out. I would have died.
She looks up at you all and she says, I know what I did was wrong, but I promise you, I wasn't going to leave you to die. I don't kill innocent people. My skills just do not discriminate.
Who do you kill, then?
I pick my jobs wisely.
Okay. What do you mean? Like who specifically? Why are you on the run because you killed somebody?
No. Actually, the opposite.
You brought somebody back to life?
No. I refused to kill someone. There is a group that I was a part of that insisted I kill someone. And while many have fallen at my hand, I was to kill this person in honor of someone else, or I should say, something else. And I refused.
What were you supposed to kill in honor of?
To be honest, I'm not sure. But they considered it a sacrifice.
So Ellis goes, so you're saying you're not killing somebody anymore? Are you saying you're not going to kill somebody anymore because we beat you and you're like, you know what, maybe it's not worth it? Or are you not wanting to kill somebody because you already said that you didn't want to kill somebody and then shooting me was completely separate?
Everything I have done today was out of self-preservation. I need to leave this city. I need to leave this continent now. And this was the only way I could see forward in this moment. The streets aren't safe for me. They have eyes everywhere.
Who has eyes everywhere?
The Circle of the Skull.
Do I know who that is? Do I recognize that?
You don't.
So it's not in this city?
I will say that Ellis has never heard of this before.
We weren't like taught this by dad or anything.
No, you know, for something to be called the Circle of something, you know, it's likely that it is a druidic circle, but Ellis and Z, neither of you have heard of the Circle of the Skull.
Will's gonna just kind of like kneel down and look at Ellis and just be like, I'm gonna try and threaten her, see if I can get some information out of her. And then he's just gonna like whisper, so you didn't do what they wanted. You have no allegiance to them.
She says, yes.
I can see if I can get you some money to help fund you to get off the continent if you promise not to hurt anybody on your way out and never work with them again.
Of course. I want nothing to do with them. And they want nothing to do with me. I clearly know too much.
Before I go through with this, I need you to tell me who were they sending you to kill?
I am afraid to tell you because you seem like upstanding individuals that might do something foolish. And it seems as though you might be my only way off this island.
Okay. How about you work with us? We're trying to leave too, trying to fund a passage on a ship. We can take you with us. And then you can tell me then.
Will, we don't have enough money for us and fodder. So, like, how are we supposed to pay for another person? Do we put her in the bag of holding as well?
I don't think we can put anybody in the bag of holding. I just...
No, does that mean we need to get two snorkels?
No, I think we could just... We could do that other job.
But might I remind you, she shot me with a poison-tipped arrow. And she has said that she doesn't like what people... She doesn't want people to get second chances, you know? So I think that we are well within our rights to leave her on the street.
I understand that you feel as though you have no reason to protect me. But I do believe I could be of value to you on down the road. I have many connections in Elphas that could be of much use to basically anyone. And I have skills. If you need something stolen, it will be done.
Will can steal things really well, too.
Many hands make light work.
That's true. But we do have... Okay, hang on. Here's the thing.
If you were to help me, I would be in your debt. And I assure you that that is something worth having.
Give me just one moment. I'm going to turn to Will and Z, and I'm going to be like, can we have a sidebar real quick? We step over, and Ellis just goes, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't... Listen, this lady, you know, I don't want to... I feel like I'm going crazy because, like, part of me is like, maybe we should recruit this lady. Maybe she could be helpful. But I don't want to forget, she shot me in the back with a poison-tipped arrow. Okay? And she doesn't believe in second chances, so I don't know if that's somebody we really want on our team, right? Am I crazy?
Well, she doesn't believe in second chances, but that's kind of my whole shtick. As far as help, having another set of hands that's quick is not bad. If she is telling the truth and has contacts, that's not really something to be scoffed at. But Will seemed to be concerned with who she's working for. And if we can throw a wrench in that, then that's probably worth something. We don't necessarily have to, like, you know, pay for a trip, but, like, we could help her along, help her get out of the city, something. Like, it wouldn't be that hard, you know?
Okay, Will?
I don't want to leave her behind for them. And I think she could help us. Maybe her contacts are just as a fighter, she could help us find Isaac. But more than that, it was a brave thing to do, to say no to that job. I don't really want her to suffer for that decision. And maybe we can give her some kind of work that can pay you back for shooting, even though
it's gonna take a lot, to be honest.
Maybe she can, like, do your laundry, or...
To be real, you're being a real baby about this. Like, we've all been shot. Like,
I have not. It was the first time I've ever been shot.
Like, you just kind of get used to it after a while.
I don't want to be used to that. I don't want to experience that ever again. That was a horrible, awful, no good feeling. I did not enjoy that. I feel like maybe we should ask Fodder as well, just get his input.
He may already be dead, but if he's not...
I'm sure he's fine.
I'd
say the odds are about even.
I'd say it's but a solid 50-50.
The thing is, he's a lot stronger than you think he is, though. And, like, I mean, the thing is, though, with people just randomly shooting people in the back in this city right now, there's a chance that he could be dead. I hope he's not. But the thing is, he's really got some gusto. He's really got some stuff to him.
You see, the woman speaks up and she says, "So, what's it gonna be?"
Ellis just looks at Will and Z, and he holds up his hands like he motions like I wash my hands of this. I'm not making this decision.
I would like to give her a chance.
Well, thank you. And I will do what I can to make it up to you.
I expect that she will.
So just to recap what, just like basically the standing of where you guys are at in terms of, because again, the only reason you guys came here in the first place was to earn money. Mm-hmm. When it comes to all this, you just earned 1,000 gold.
998 gold. Or sorry, 95.
995 gold split three ways is 332 gold, basically. But if you want to split it four ways, it's only 250, which means that if you are paying for four tickets, you need 400 more gold. Because again, the cost of passage is 350 gold pieces a pop. So
Ellis turns around and he goes, wait, who are you?
she says, my name is Juno.
Oh, okay. Juno. Okay. Ellis turns around and he goes, why didn't any of us ask her name? That feels kind of rude.
Ellis says, I'm obviously Ellis. And then he points at Will.
I'm Will.
And Z died. Z's laying face down in the mud. We go, he drowned.
Oh, no.
Z's very heavily not paying attention.
She says, where to next? I cannot express, the longer I stay in one spot, the less safe we all are.
Well, we could stay with Miss Hennessy. Need to check up on her.
Make an insight check.
All right. Nat 20.
Choo. Okay. She not only recognizes the name, Will's intuition kicks in this moment. And you realize that Miss Hennessy is the name she refused to tell you.
They weren't there for you, Will.
Okay. Yeah, I think Will, his eyes just go wide. He looks angry for a moment. And he just turns and says to Z and Alice, I would really appreciate it if you guys came with me, but I'm going to go check on her.
Check on your boss?
Yeah, at the museum.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Is there anything I can do to change your mind?
No.
Okay. And you all, I guess, begin making your way towards Blue Tower Museum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody, make stealth checks.
Oh, baby.
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah, I want to say that comes from the fact that Z's not hiding. And he's just going to walk up to the front door.
Oh, gosh.
Whenever we get there.
Okay.
18.
28.
And our new friend Juno only got an 11.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm going to roll something.
She's the worst, dude. She's going to get us all killed.
All right. Things seem pretty straightforward as you all make your way through the city. And it's in the evening, so the streets are much less occupied. It's probably like a solid 2 hours worth of traveling to do it stealthily. But also it's just a pretty far distance. It's several miles away to walk on foot. But when you finally arrive, you see that the museum is one of the few buildings on this block that has a light on. Their lights are are still burning bright, like the main storefront. The lights are all on still in the building. What do y'all do?
I walk up to the front door, like, and just go to open it. Like a dummy.
Okay. Are you doing this like aggressively?
I think he's just walking. Like, I don't think, like, it's just walking with just purpose. Walking. Like, he's just trying to get something done.
what do the rest of you do?
Ellis is, he's standing behind Will and kind of just following Will's lead because Will's the sneakiest of the bunch. So he's just figuring if he sticks with him, he has the best shot of actually being okay.
Will's going to try and find a window that he can open and get in through.
Okay, so you're just going to let Z walk in through the front door by himself?
I'm the best distraction.
It's not a leading question. I'm just making sure.
Yeah, as a distraction.
So, you see, like, as Z begins to walk forward, Juno is just like, no. just sticks her hand out, just like, you know, clenches her fist. The three of you move over and are going to try to sneak in through a side window. Let's go ahead and roll for that. So why don't you roll stealth? You don't need to roll sleight of hand because you got keys.
You know, I rolled 17 for door.
Okay,
cool. I don't know how that's going to affect your plans, but...
That's a pretty good door check.
That is a door check. Unnatural 20.
Okay, cool. Do you think Will wants Ellis and Juno to follow him in this moment, or is he wanting to just...
I think as he gets the window open, he kind of like leaves it unlocked for them, but just turns and says, wait here. I'm going to try and get Miss Hennessy.
And as you begin to make your way through the dark, you begin to hear voices. One is the sound of Miss Hennessy. She is clearly very upset about something. She is just rambling on and on about something, just like in this, like, anytime she's ever like lost her temper on something, this is the sound of the voice that you hear. And you hear this other deep rumbling voice alongside it. As you get closer, you're growing more and more concerned, worried for the safety of this person you care so deeply about. The thought of her getting caught in the crossfire of something that she had no part in is so terrifying to you. You slowly open up the door and you see Miss Hennessy. She is holding a stick that she always keeps behind the bar. In case there are, quote, ragamuffins. And she is currently beating Z over the head with it. Over and over and over again. You're exactly what's wrong with this city. Always sneaking into people's houses.
Walked in through the front door.
Causing trouble. Smack, smack, smack. Ow. If you say it.
She's,
no one comes into this store, and you know that.
Will walks over to Miss Hennessy and says, "Hey, it's okay. This is my brother. He's not a ragamuffin."
Ow.
Oh, William. This is your brother?
Yeah, one of them.
Oh, and she puts the stick down and she just like pats you on your arm and she says, "Good boy. Sweet, sweet boy."
Yeah. Miss Hennessy, I'm gonna need to go on a trip. It may take a while.
You just got back. Where are the groceries, William?
I ran into a bit of trouble, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
But I haven't eaten in 5 days.
That's not true. That's not true, right?
This is what happens when you leave your NPCs.
You're the only thing keeping this person. No, it's not true. She says, "No, I haven't. I haven't eaten in 5 days, 5 entire days."
I can see if I can get some of those groceries for you before I leave. But I'm not sure I'll be able to get the Shrine of Dabblemont. You might want to hire someone else for that for while I'm gone.
You're not going to get the shrine?
If I can, I'll get it when I can. But I have a bit of an emergency that's forcing me to leave the city.
Well, William, I'm really sorry to hear that. That's very frightening to me because I don't know what could be more important than making sure the Circle of the Skull doesn't get the greatest power this world has ever known.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
And that's where we'll end our session.